Now that we know how the world is going to work, this episode is going to be a little bit on how the different peoples, mainly the different benders and non-benders, and also some important NPCs, are going to act in this world. Enjoy.
And that's actually where our adventures kind of picking up in our one such branch of do-gooders.
Crimson Water Lilies.
The Crimson Water Lilies. And the Crimson Water Lilies solve problems out of the goodness of their heart and for the greater good of the peoples of the four nations. Let's see here. I'm looking through the map. Is there any other location? Oh, the Eastern Air Temple.
That's the one that Aang was originally from. I
believe so, yes. Okay. I believe that is... No. Sorry. He's the Southern Air Temple.
Okay.
Air Temple is where he met the guru that taught him about chakras.
What was the Air Temple where they got attacked by that hammer guy? Or remember there was some assassin that was attacking them? Do you remember? I think it was an Air Temple. I could be wrong.
That would be my guess.
I'm sorry, who was it?
The Western Air Temple is where Zuko joined them, and they had the Zuko field trips. So if that was...
Okay, but it's not
the
Eastern.
They spent all of the third book. No. It would have been the Western one.
Okay. So what is it now?
It's now actually become what the residents refer to as an independent nation. It's people of non-benders that are just kind of paranoid and decided, you know what, we don't need... It's really what led to all these horrible things. Stay here. And itself is kind of in ruins, and in fact, the mountain it sat on is more or less collapsed at this point. They still have that rather large, from an island, that large island where they've kind of set up their own nation, and rumor has it that they are building up, you know, kind of delving into that old technology. Again, as a way to protect themselves from benders and whatnot. And
population in the general world, what percentage is bender?
According to census, there are about 10 to 15% of people that are benders of various types.
Okay.
Believe it or not, some people don't want the world to know that they're benders. But that is kind of the estimate right now, and that most people... You know, can't bend and don't bend. And are, I mean, your local villages, small villages, they may be celebrities. Some of them may be, you know, young to tell for sure. And a lot of people that were benders, you know, were, you know, military forces. And since there's not really a need for military anymore, the desire to bend, has died down some. Would also point out, and some sages may reference this as well, new airbending talents emerged from random people of all the nations when the spirit portals were opened at harmonic convergence. And again, when that third spirit portal was opened, new benders of all types. With the closing of the one spirit portal and the separation of the others, it could be that bending as a whole is, as you would expect, I think 40 to 50% of the population during Aang's time is bending.
Okay.
But again, that could also just be people keeping quiet and not it actually dying out.
Why ever would people want to hide the fact that they're a bender?
Why indeed? You know, waterbenders are, you know, seen as peace bringers. A lot of people, because they are the ones that are terraforming and bringing this utopia, spreading it throughout the world. But at the same time, you know, a lot of waterbenders get rich because they are given status and given great things and thanks for their gift and for their work. And, you know, poor people tend to have a prejudice against rich people. That's, or at least that's what the rich people will tell you.
Nice.
So... in order to get along, you know, with people, or to avoid getting drafted into the terraforming. It could be possible that a waterbender might want to hide that. A firebender, it could be a number of reasons, family ties, or issues with family ties. You know, firebending, you are related to a criminal family organization. Because even after all this time of mixing and mingling, you still have to be related to a firebender somehow in order to get firebending. It's kind of hard because it's been such a cultural melting pot, and that you have so many people that can trace their lineage back to all four nations.
Yeah.
Really? But, you know, it still kind of pops up and there's still some stereotypes there. Same with, the Earth Kingdom. There's not really a lot of, metal bending because there's not nearly as much metal. They may also be trying to hide some sort of royal heritage or lineage. Or they might be afraid that, they're going to get conscripted into the military, or some boring guard duty, or that somebody's going to take an arrow to their knee.
Walls.
And force them into early retirement. As far as the air nomads go, most people think of them as air bandits. And if they see you airbending, they're going to assume that you are a criminal. Much like the stereotypes with the gypsies. Now, is that because the stereotypes have forced them to be that way, like the foxes in Zootopia, or is it because they always have been that way, and it's just a stereotype that derived from encountering them that many times? That's really up to the viewers to decide for themselves as they go through the story. I'm not going to nail that one on the head.
I'm not going to get your Zootopia references.
That's okay. When it comes down to it, though, an airbender...
I'm assuming someone will.
An airbender will probably not reveal themselves as an airbender because it could immediately label them as a criminal.
Makes sense.
Or they might quickly get drafted to work the oxygen things at Unity. And being underwater probably isn't, being locked underwater probably isn't the most comfortable place for a wandering airbender to be.
Can an airbender make a bubble around themselves and float back up to the surface?
Yes.
Okay.
They could. And I'm sure it would be just that easy if they wanted to leave.
Oh, actually, didn't we do that?
Hmm?
When we tested it? Isn't that something my character did whenever we were testing?
I believe so.
Okay, never mind.
And it's also something that... I mean, one of the reasons Aang ended up frozen at the start of the series was because he did that. Granted, he also, being the Avatar, bending multiple elements, put ice around that air bubble. But the first thing he did was create air so that he could breathe, and then ice to keep him frozen and preserved.
Nice. Do we know of any important NPCs at this point?
There is Vatu, the paperbender.
Nice.
He is the head of the paper pushers, the real politicians, the heart of the government. He is currently, his title is the paperbender. He is the one that, authorizes every law and treaty that's made. Technically, everyone else, in the political world, kind of has his authority to make deals and whatnot. He is the only one that can unmake any deal that he was not present for. That usually requires firing people, in the nicest way to put that. And, of course, immediately a new treaty to make sure that no one was cheated in this unlawful. But that would be Vatu.
Vatu the Unmaker.
The Unmaker. Hmm. It might be a nice black market name for him. As far as other NPCs, we don't necessarily have names for any of them yet, but there is, of course, someone that is head of the White Lotus. I kind of want to name him Iroh, but I'm not going to, because he is nothing like Iroh from the series.
Well, what if Iroh is just the title of the person who's in charge of the White Lotus, like a Caesar?
That's kind of what I'm saying, but I still think that would tarnish his memory too much. Maybe a Boomy. Let's see here. You still have some powerful spirits of the library. You have the roaming fire steamships of the Fire Nation that go back and forth for trade and other purposes between the islands and the main continent. Oh, one big thing forgot to mention. There are labor camps throughout the area. They are much less harsh than what we might think. At least that's what the public is told. But the labor camps are basically, you know, when you commit a crime, you know, jail time, you know, or, you know, harsher things like, you know, death penalty or lashes or things like that. We've evolved beyond that as a people, as nations. So whenever you do something that hurts society, you instead turn around and repay society working at these labor camps. Nice. Benders especially are sent to labor camps because they can do so much with their bending to benefit the nations, the world. So you'll have heads of different labor camps. There's a big one actually on the border edge of the southern swamp, Gao Ling area, close to the kind of on the other side of the sea would be the Kyoshi Islands, where they are,
okay,
you know, not only expanding, you know, the forests and the natural world, so to speak, but also building ships and fishing and providing food for the main continent and such. So that's actually going to be a huge thing and a huge motivation for not breaking any laws.
Nice.
Is that you will end up in a labor camp and you will serve time until how much you hurt society is paid back. That, of course, being determined by a judge. Judge Nirik is going to be someone that you guys encounter. Nirik is one of those judges appointed by the Water Nation that has the approval of the White Lotus. And while, yes, he can send you to these labor camps, mostly it's Nirik's job to file the paperwork for you guys and make sure that on his authority, you're given permission to go into whatever territories these jobs take.
Mm-hmm.
It is also his job to punish you guys if you break laws, but of course that's just, you know, so it looks good on paper. Really, he's there to help you and support you, and if you catch any criminals, you send them to him, and depending on their bending ability, I'm sorry, depending on the seriousness of their crime, he will assign times in labor camp.
Okay.
There is a empress in Ba Sing Se that is technically the leader of the Earth Kingdom. There is a Fire Lord, although they actually refer to him as the Lord Father, because he's now more head of a family instead of the head of a nation.
Okay.
And probably the biggest one that everybody's going to be wondering about is, who's the Avatar? Or where is the Avatar? And really, after the last Avatar War, there hasn't been an Avatar. Most likely explanation is that they were killed in the Avatar state, and that line has been completely destroyed. There's some other theories going about as to why there's no more Avatars. And maybe there actually is, and they just have been in hiding for whatever reason. But you know, the Avatar is kind of more of a legend of, you know, like you know, we would now think of as, you know, Hercules or Odysseus or one of those. It's a great story. Maybe it was even true, but not so much going to walk into our door and, you know, demand food and mead.
Nice.
Or anything. Anything else I'm leaving out?
No, that's good. That's a lot more than I thought. It's your world, so if there's anything else you think to tell me.
I've been trying to put a lot into it based on the character's concept, really building the world based on where they see themselves coming from. And the you know session we had last time, especially, as kind of, okay, is this, I mean, this is really a paper pusher's world.
Mm-hmm.
And a irrigation pusher's world, I suppose. Everything seems peaceful. I mean, of course, there's problems, but they're not huge world-shattering problems. You've got your rebels down in the south. You got your criminals locked off in the desert. And you've got Utopia under the sea. I'm sure we're going to break into song about that at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
Not this session.
Sweet. That's good.